one game to settle a debate. After a week of questions about his future, does he work hard enough? Does he fit Paulinho's system? Should he be sold to Fenerbahce? Lucas Joao responded with a brace on his birthday to help Reading to a 2-1 home win over Stoke City to ensure that the Royals end the weekend third in the championship table. Hello and welcome to episode number 308 of the Tireless Den podcast. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm joined by Tireless Den writer Ross Webber. Ross, how are you?
Doing not too bad, Ollie. Thanks. A little tired. It was an early start here on the East Coast today, but always fired up to talk about Reading, so not a problem at all.
Yeah, I mean, you get up pretty early to watch Reading anyway, but as this was a 12 p.m. UK kickoff, you were up particularly early today. I presume it was worth it, though.
It was worth it. Yeah. I do like my 10 o'clock in the morning starts normally. That's a good way to start your weekend with a coffee. But 7 in the morning, I did not make it out of bed for the first half. I'll say that much.
Well, I mean, even 12 p.m. here in the UK still feels slightly strange for kicking off a football match. And obviously, it was on Sky over here in the UK as well. And I think it's probably a decision for a lot of people to make whether they were going to stay at home and watch it. And certainly, I was sort of umming and ahhing early in the week, particularly after seeing us lose 4-0. Sheffield United on Tuesday. But yeah, absolutely worth it to watch it, whether at home or in a stadium today. We'll get straight into the recap in just a minute, but as always, quickly, I mentioned, as always, for our sponsors, ZCZ Films, thank you very much for their continued support of both the website and the podcast. It's very much appreciated, and likewise to all of our Patreon subscribers who continue to dip into their pockets monthly to support the website and the podcast. Hopefully you are seeing the rewards in the fact we are starting to do a bit more around match day coverage in terms of our Twitter spaces. We obviously had the transfer show live on Twitter and YouTube over the summer. We've got our post-match videos as well. So if you do enjoy what we're doing, please do go over and support us over on Patreon, patreon.com/thetirelessden, and give as much or as little as you can. As I say, very, very much appreciated and really motivates us to keep on going. But it's pretty easy to get motivated at the moment because the team are doing so well. And let's get straight into the recap then for Reading 2, Stoke 1.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Well, Ross, there is no better place to start, really, than the birthday boy himself, two-goal hero Lucas Joao. As I mentioned, lots of talk about him this week after, you know, what was a poor performance, not just for him, but for the whole team against Sheffield United, losing 4-0 on Tuesday night. And obviously, then being linked to Fenerbahce in sort of the final 24 hours of the transfer window. Lots of debate, you know, some people saying, you know, he's lazy or he doesn't work hard enough, you know. And then obviously, when those rumours come in, you know, whether he should be sold and Reading should cash in considering his contract is up next summer. But I think that performance today firmly put to bed any of those questions or rumours about whether he should be left out of the team.
Yeah, you'd hope so. I mean, he's just so clinical when he does get a chance, you know, with a little bit of room to run onto it. But what was really exciting about it is that Paul Ince, clearly not happy with how Joao played in midweek, but didn't just rely on Joao to improve himself, didn't just say, go out and do the same formation again, do it better this time. He went, okay, Joao's not going to run around. I think Sim did a great piece on that earlier this week on how Joao's work doesn't necessarily fit into a lone striker system or in this more heavy running style team. You know, it looks a little bit more strange when he's not moving around quite so much, but really surrounding him with long. And I think Tom Ince really gets high up the pitch too. It really helped to cover up some of his, you know, some of the things that people were complaining about, wrongly or rightly this week. But also, you know, it meant that he could actually get the ball in space moving towards the net, which was nice to see. Like, I think against Sheffield, he's always receiving it this back to goal and he just couldn't really affect the game. It was nice to see Ince change the system to really make the most of Joao today.
as you mentioned, players like Shane Long and Tom Ince, who, you know, we'll get onto in a bit, just work so tirelessly and will essentially do Lucas Schau's running for him, which, I mean, that's pretty much what Tom Ince said in his post-match interview, that he'll do the running and Lucas Schau will stick the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, he obviously did that twice today. But I think even with Schau today, he did seem to be running a bit more than in midweek. You know, whether he took those complaints personally, I'm not too sure. But certainly for that first goal, which was a Joe Lumley assist, by the way, which is always delightful to see a goalkeeper getting an assist. You know, Lucas Schau running in behind, you know, taking it past the Stoke goalkeeper, Jack Bonham, who had a bit of a nightmare. But, you know, when he takes it past Bonham, you know, he doesn't even need to look up, Lucas Schau. You know, you look at the replays, he's still just focused on the ball. He's not even looking up to see where the goal is. And that's, you know, the sign of, you know, a real top striker where, you know, it's exactly where that goal is, you know, exactly where he's going to put it. You know, no chance for, I think it's Aidan Flint trying to cover back. You know, just after 2 minutes, their dream start for Reading. Yeah. And then for the second goal as well, you know, obviously he scores the penalty, which is a fantastic penalty right in the bottom corner. You know, Jack Bonham goes the right way, but, you know, can't really get anywhere near it. But again, you know, Lucas Schau winning that penalty, you know, with sort of really clever movement. You know, we know what Zhao's about as a striker now. Yes, he's a, you know, 6'3", 6'4", you know, tall striker, but he's also fantastic with the ball at his feet, you know, really skillful and, you know, shielded that ball really well to win that penalty. We obviously saw him, you know, as you mentioned, Ross, partnered up front with Shane Long for the first time, you know, something that maybe some people were calling for in midweek, because, you know, Shane Long does do more of that sort of running side and Zhao puts the ball in the back of the net. I have to say, it wasn't, you know, maybe Shane Long's best game. And obviously missed a sitter at 1-0, which really was a horror miss, and looked as though it might have cost Reading at one point. He looked completely worn out really after about an hour. How did you sort of view sort of how that Zhao Long partnership sort of worked starting for the first time?
I definitely think that it's useful to get another player doing more running around Zhao. Yeah. I think that was something that really worked well in this game and meant that even though Stoke had a lot of the ball, when Reading did get forward, they had, you know, willing runners and places for people to pass into. That chance that Shane Long had, I don't know if you guys could see it in the stadium. On the TV replay, we saw a Stoke player got a foot on it about a split second before it reaches Long. So it actually bubbles up and comes up onto his shin. So he was really unlucky with that one. So yeah, I'd like to see Long score another one soon. We've only had that penalty so far. But it was promising, you know. I worry that against some of the better sides, losing that extra midfielder might be a problem. I think that we need that little bit of bite, and hopefully Loom is going to be back in the coming weeks. But yeah, I think that for a way to change things up, for a way to get the best out of Zhao, I think this is a step in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, it's just great to have those options. I think, you know, we've seen a number of sort of different systems, a number of different sort of partners or, you know, lone strikers, whatever, played in attack this season. You know, obviously one constant has been Tom Ince, who, you know, I think got the Sky Man of the match, despite Lucas Schau scoring two goals. And it was a really sort of funny performance for me from Tom Ince today, because from my point of view, it wasn't particularly his sort of best game in terms of sort of creativity. You know, there's a lot of, particularly in that first half, you know, a few sort of dodgy passes or wayward balls. There was one moment in particular that I found quite funny where, Tom Ince was on the near touchline side and sort of played a overhit pass, I think it was, and then Paul Ince went absolutely mental at him, on which is sort of classic sort of dad son coaching behaviour, on the sidelines. But, you know, he made up for sort of those, I mean, I don't really want to call them errors, but sort of underperformances maybe in the first half. Tom Ince, where just works absolutely tirelessly, you know, works harder than any Reading player I've sort of seen in recent years. There was I think it was a slide tackle right at the end where he was the one tracking back, where, you know, the whole Reading team was absolutely dead on their feet. You know, he worked so tirelessly.
I think you're absolutely right about that father-son connection, bringing in some of that, because I think we've all been there, you know, when we were playing football at school or whatever, and our parents would come to watch and we'd lose the ball and our dads would scream at us to run back and go and, you know, go and get the ball that you've lost. So maybe it's just a little bit of that, you know, it's the grassroots coming through at the championship level.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a point of ridicule, I think, from opposition fans that Paul Ince is the Reading manager and he's brought in Tom Ince, and you know they always seem to follow each other everywhere. But it's quite a heartwarming thing for me, you know, the fact that they are both proving Reading fans wrong. I think, you know, particularly Paul Ince, there wasn't, you know, I'm certainly humbled by in terms of what he's done for this football club and how he's motivating the players. And you know, there were question marks over Tom Ince when he came in January. But again, you know, he's been excellent, particularly at the start of this season. You know, certainly an early tip for player of the season. We had a comment in the mailbag from one fan who said, "Who is the best player on the team, and why is it Tom Ince?" you look at the numbers that Tom Ince put in today. Again, as I say, not his best game creatively, but in terms of he had the most tackles on the pitch. For me, the side, which was six, two interceptions, which is the joint most on the pitch, four blocks, which was the most on the pitch. You know, as I say, Ross, we saw the absolute best of Tom Ince today, and he's been an absolute revelation.
Yeah, I think that he's really the key thing that made the two strikers and losing somebody out of the midfield work, because Hendrick and Fauna were actually pretty good today, I thought, especially in the second half. Hendrick, the best defensively I've seen him so far. But with the amount of running that Ince gets through, there were some comments during the Tuesday game that Loom was having to do like two or three people's jobs, and it was just a bit above him. It felt today like Tom Ince was doing two people's jobs. He was sort of playing in that 10 role, but also tracking all the way back. Yeah, I think he really had a great game on the defensive side. And I'm yet to see him have a poor game on the defensive side this season.
Yeah, I mean, and that sort of hard work and that, you know, desire to really see Reading over the line. You know, there was almost, you know, naturally when you get to the final 10 minutes and you're only winning by one goal, it naturally becomes a little bit nervy. But to be honest, there wasn't really a point in that final 10 minutes or in stoppage time where I thought we would lose the game, because, you know, everyone seemed to be doing their jobs. Everyone seemed to be working tirelessly. And this is the thing here, Ross, where, you know, that's the main thing this season that I've seen improvement on, is sort of the mentality of this team just feels so much improved, you know, so hard working, you know, not necessarily in possession. Again today, much like, you know, I think all of our wins so far this season have come when we've had less possession. We had 39% of the ball today, which, you know, there's been similar numbers from the previous wins. And, you know, as we've mentioned, it comes with the back of this 4-0 defeat to Sheffield United. And, you know, Reading teams in the last couple of years might have caved after a 4-0 defeat such as that, but Reading have shown twice now. You know, after they lost 4-0 to Rotherham, they went and beat Blackburn 3-0. We've now gone and beat Stoke 2-1 after losing 4-0 to Sheffield United. You know, even, you know, within games themselves where Reading are pegged back, you know, when that equaliser goes in just before half time, you know, often said one of the worst time to concede, but I thought they came out second half and were absolutely superb. You know, they dominated that second half really, and, you know, did, you know, deserve to get that win. And, you know, that's the key point for me, because I think, you know, you are going to have to accept that we are going to lose games this season, you know, maybe a few more 4-0, you know, because that's just the nature of this Reading team at the moment, is that they can, you know, be so Jekyll and Hyde. But if we can respond and sort of make sure they, you know, these, you know, singular defeats, you know, however bad they might be, you know, on a one-off basis, if we can make sure we respond like we did today and like we did against Blackburn, not turn them into sort of ruts and sort of streaks that are quite hard to get out of, then we'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's all of these situations like you're talking about, where in previous years, if we had a one goal lead, you know, we're giving that up some way towards the end of the match. We're not going to be able to hold on to that. Whereas this year, it doesn't feel quite so inevitable. And I think that what you're saying, the off the ball work, really is a large part of that. It's a huge part of football these days. Obviously, Premier League clubs employ coaches just for the out of possession side of the game. So it's great to see Reading focusing on it and using it as a way to make the best of what they have, I would say, because obviously they've got this smaller squad. They brought back less than 50% of their players from last year. So really important for them to have that sort of consistent coaching.
Yeah, it very much feels as if this team is performing more than some of its parts at the moment, you know, which, to be honest, the best Reading sides have done, you know, on paper. You know, I'm not saying this team is going to win promotion like, the 05-06 team or the 11-12 team, but both of those teams were not perhaps the most naturally gifted teams on paper, but they both, you know, performed as a unit and both performed more than the sum of their parts. And, you know, that's certainly what this Paul Ince team is doing at the moment, and backed by a fantastic home crowd. And obviously, Ross, you were watching on TV. I was there in the stadium today. Four wins from four now at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. I saw this comment on Twitter from Ben Warden, who said the 4x Fortress, which I thought was very, very good in reference to the Select Car Leasing Stadium. Only Reading and Sheffield United have perfect home records left in the Championship this season, you know, and that is so important. You know, as we mentioned, Reading don't have the best away record this season, which we'll come on to when we look ahead to the Watford game next weekend, you know. But if we can win these home games, then we'll be well clear of danger. That's for sure. And as I say, you know, like it's just a case of, you know, of that buzz around the stadium at the moment. As I say, that there was that, you know, there was that choice to make, I suppose, after losing to Sheffield United in midweek, that the game was on Sky. People didn't have to go today, but you know, I think a lot of people would have made that choice, you know, to go to the ground instead of watching on TV, because, you know, the atmosphere is back. You know, Club 1871, we were discussing off air, Ross, that's taken on a whole sort of new lease of life this season, Club 1871. And I don't know how well it comes across on TV, but there's a real buzz at the ground at the moment.
Huge, and we can, I, you know, like obviously there's a slight disconnect being on the television rather than being able to watch it there in person. But like I can really feel like the atmosphere around the club has changed. You can hear the fans in the stadium like every time now. The attendance looked better today too, from what I could see. So I'm excited to be back in England some point this year to experience it, because it looks like it's been really, really positive. I will say it is, of course, very important for Reading and Sheffield United to keep their 100% home records if they are going to do this repeat of 2005-06 that we're all after. So hopefully us and the Blades keep it up and fate repeats itself.
Yeah, but I think it would have been last weekend after the Mill. I think the top three in the Championship was Reading, Sheffield United and Watford, which felt like rather nice symmetry. Before we round off the recap then and hear from Paul Ince, just a couple of, I suppose, other individual shout-outs that I sort of wanted to give. You know, Ross, you might want to add to these, but I thought, again, Joe Lumley was excellent. Obviously getting his assist in that first half, generally quite confident. Maybe could have done a little bit better with the goal, but that's possibly being harsh. It took a deflection and Lumley was possibly... was possibly sort of a little bit blinded. I have to say, I think it was Jeff Hendricks, probably best game in midfield so far. Next to him, I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed by Tyrese Vaughan, I have to say. You know, played much more of an advanced role in that second half, was involved in winning the penalty with quite a cute little pass into Lucas Shaw. And generally, I think, Ross, you know, there were a lot of individual excellent performances today.
Yeah, I think so. I think Lumley's a really good one to pick out. And right before for the actual assist that he had to Zhao, he actually points to Zhao where he wants him to go. So he's really sort of orchestrating from back there. It seems like that's something they've worked on. And isn't it nice to have a goalkeeper who doesn't make crazy mistakes like that Stoke keeper? I mean, yeah. Lumley really, really consistent, very steady over the last few weeks. But yeah, I thought Lumley was great. I'll give a little shout out. I don't know how well you guys could see it, but Tom Holmes had a little rollover of the ball and flick that was quite nice today that ended up with Reading getting a free kick after Yeardom threw himself down like he does. So
was that when Tom Holmes was, I think he was in a position to perhaps shoot, but I thought he's a defender. He knows full well that's flying straight over the bar if he shoots.
Yeah, and he gave it a dainty little rollover. So it was always nice to see that from one of the big centre backs.
Well, there we are then. Praise aura. There wasn't really a bad performance to be said. As I say, Shane Long maybe didn't have his best game in a Reading shirt, but was still, you know, working tirelessly up there. Great to see Baba Rahman come on for the last half an hour to make his second Reading debut. You know, the reception he got, even as he warmed up down on the near touchline, you know, he's going to be, you know, he was obviously a fan's favourite last season. It's fantastic to have him back. Right then, no mailbag this week. People have nothing to complain about, I suppose, after Reading win 2-1. We'll sort of feed some of your thoughts in throughout the show, but we'll go straight into news bites after we hear from Paul Ince.
Yeah, good result, good performance. Fairly deserved win. As I said, Stoke are a good side. Got a very good squad, as you can see. Disappointed to go in at 1-1. Thought we were by far the better team. But then again, we showed our resilience, our character and spirit to come out the second half and perform the way that we did. I thought it was exceptional. I said to the lads before, you know, we need to get a response from, obviously, the Sheffield United defeat, which can happen. As I said, they're a good side. So the thing is, after that, we weren't too down. We weren't too disappointed. You can't keep getting down after every time you lose a game. As well, you can't get up every time you win a game. But the second half, I thought we were very, very good. I thought, you know, we had a blatant penalty. You know, not the Lucas one that he scored, but the one after that, the handball. It's a blatant penalty. We've got to take those. That makes it 3-1. And the game's over. But listen, it is what it is. I keep saying it's what it is, but it's not is what it is, because we need those decisions. They're important decisions for us. But overall, yeah, it was a good performance.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Right, news bites then. I suppose, as always now, it's an injury update. And the big one comes from the man who missed out today. Well, there were two men that missed out. Obviously, Naby Sarr wasn't in again. But the one who dropped out for midweek was Mamadou Loom. Paul Ince confirmed that Loom had picked up a groin injury in training on Saturday. He's probably going to be out for around 3 to 4 weeks. You know, obviously disappointing. You know, Loom has been one of, you know, Reading's best players so far this season, certainly, you know, since joining on loan from Porto. Ross, how much of an issue might this be? As I say, we obviously saw, you know, Jeff Hendrick and Tyrese Fauna both had very, very good games in that midfield for Reading today, but I suspect we probably won't be able to rely on them to be quite so consistent without Loom for a month or so.
No, it's been nice to see Fauna especially really grow in confidence as he's gotten more minutes in the last few weeks. I think that he's become quite a tidy midfielder. But yeah, this is a loss. I wonder, there was some talk about whether Tetek might go out on loan right at the end of the window, and then that didn't end up happening. So I wonder if the club maybe knew about that, about Loom's absence at the time, and they thought that Tetek should probably stick around in case they, you know, they need to bring him in. And I'd like to see a little bit of Tetek play. So if there's any silver lining to this, maybe some minutes for Dejan Tetek. But yeah, this is a not an ideal way to keep the momentum going right now.
Yeah, Dejan Tetek included in the matchday squad today for the first time this season. Almost was a bit like a forgotten man a little bit, Dejan Tetek. You know, I think obviously, you know, being on sidelines quite a bit due to injury, but I was always sort of quite encouraged by him last season whenever he played. Didn't actually really get much of a chance to sort of show what he can do in the centre of midfield. You know, he was sort of shifted all over the place last season, you know, due to injuries. Played right back quite a bit, I think, when Andy Yeardom and Felipe Aranha and Tom Holmes were all out. But yes, certainly an option to have. And, you know, I suspect, you know, we won't be able to rely on Tyrese Fauna and Jeff Hendrick just purely because of the level of games we've got coming up over the next year. Yeah. It's obviously great to have a midweek break this week. But yeah, you know, really excited in particular by Tyrese Fauna, as you say. Seems to be improving all the time, you know, naturally very highly rated at Nottingham Forest. You know, he was the one sort of summer signing for me that I was sort of really excited about, because he is sort of that younger, hungrier player. And, you know, look, you know, obviously a lot of Reading's sort of signings this summer window have been sort of experienced veterans who might sort of need sort of a, you know, kickstart in their career, and that naturally helps. And, you know, I have to say, I think, you know, the experience certainly helped in Reading's side today, having players like Jeff Hendrick and Sam Hutchinson and Shane Long, you know, helping Reading see out that game towards the end of the game. But someone like Tyrese Fauna, Ross, you know, has come on sort of leaps and bounds over the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, it's really great to hear that you were excited about him, because he was one of the players that I really wasn't aware of coming in this summer. And you know, I remember that first half against Blackpool in that first game, our midfield, we were all panicking a little bit that it looked a little bit light. But Fauna has really just gone from strength to strength. He had the assists, I think, in the 3-0 win against Blackburn, which was very nice, and just looks very tidy in possession, doesn't lose the ball very much. He does some similar things to what Ajaria has in his skill set, but he's much less liable to lose the ball. And partly that's down to being further back on the pitch. Obviously, Ajaria is trying things further up the pitch, but yeah, no, Fauna is really quite impressive so far. I will say Sam Hutchinson, an experienced head, but he's trying to make us think that he's a younger head at the moment with that Paul Gascoigne, Phil Foden, whatever you want to call it, platinum blonde cut. He's looking very sharp.
Yeah, I did a slight double take when I walked out into the stadium today, and I saw Sam Hutchinson's bleached blonde hair. I think he's done it before, I think, at Sheffield Wednesday. It makes him look a completely different player, I have to say. But yeah, if he can channel his inner Gazza or Phil Foden, then I'm not sure anyone will be complaining.
What is it about us and experienced centre-backs who like their hairstyling? Because we just had Michael Morrison, who I think he owns a salon or something like that as well.
Yeah, he does.
They're all into it, these footballers.
A couple of other news bites. The QPR away game has been moved to television. Reading seem to be on TV all the time at the moment, and that's probably because of a good start. But yeah, the QPR away game has been moved back one day to Friday the 7th of October at 8 p.m. Having, as I say, originally been scheduled for a day later. It always seems to be on Sky, the QPR Reading games. God knows why, whether some sort of Sky exec believes there is some sort of rivalry between Reading and QPR, because we both play in blue and white hoops. I'm not too sure. But yeah, Reading QPR away at Loftus Road is on TV again Friday the 7th of October at 8 p.m. Our game a few days earlier against Norwich at the SCL Stadium is also on television 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 4th of October. That kickoff time and date has not moved, but it will be on Sky Sports. The women's team, they finally kick off their WSL season a week today on Sunday, the 11th of September against Liverpool at the Select Cardiff Singh Stadium. It sounds though it could be a record-breaking attendance for a Reading women's game, which would be fantastic to see off the back of the Euro success. Natalia Stenn will be there with live coverage and a few bits and pieces afterwards. So very much looking forward to that one. If you do want to pop along to go and support Kenny Chambers' side, an adult ticket is just £12 in advance, £8 for 65 and over and 18 to 24, £6 for 17 and under and £4 for 12 and under. Those prices go up by £2 on a match day. But yeah, if you are interested, off the back of the Euros this summer, do go down and support the women's team. It should be a great occasion next weekend, as I say, a potentially record-breaking attendance for a Reading women's game. The under-21s, they won 4-1 against Sheffield Wednesday last Tuesday, two goals each from Rashwan Scott and Adrian Akande. Akande, I think, one of the newbies in the academy this year after leaving Swansea. So that's two wins and two defeats for Noel Hunt's side in their first four games in the Premier League Professional Development League. They travel to Hull on Monday and then QPR on Friday. So two away games this week for the 21s. No game for the under-18s this weekend, but they are back in action against Crewe at Bearwood on Saturday the 10th. Also, of course, on Saturday the 10th is the men's senior team who travel to Watford to Vicarage Road. And we'll get into previewing that one now in the big match preview.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Yeah, Watford away on Saturday the 10th. Then should be a cracking day out, at least for those Reading fans going. A sold out away end at Vicarage Road. Obviously, it's one of the closest away days in the Championship this season, which is a very northern heavy league, I think, this season. So Watford is pleasingly close. Let's say, although it's not been a particularly happy hunting ground for Reading of late. Obviously, lost there 2 years ago, and I think it's two wins from the last nine trips to Vicarage Road. I particularly remember, I think it was 4-0 2015, I think, the one a couple of days before the FA Cup quarterfinal replay against Bradford, where they sort of shoehorned that onto a Monday night, and we still played Watford on the Saturday. So Steve Clarke played a very, very heavily rotated team. I think it was Yuri Travner's one and only Reading appearance. Although I do remember meeting Martin Keown in the stands, because his son, Niall, was again getting one of his very few Reading appearances there. But Ross, obviously, you know, no midweek game this week for Reading, which certainly I think will help the team. You know, all of them put in an absolute hell of a shift, as we said today. So I think they'll certainly be thankful for a full week of rest and preparation ahead of this, you know, quite a tricky game really against Watford.
Yeah, definitely. And even further than that, it's great to get the 6 days off now, because it's the last week before the international break. It'll be Watford, Sunderland and Wigan all in the space of 7 days. So really, the first thing I was thinking about after the Stoke game ended today are what are our expectations now for this season? And with a game against one of the best teams in the league, and then a game against two of the promoted sides from League One, I think it's really going to tell us a lot about how good this team actually is. So exciting to test ourselves against Watford. I think, like you're saying, Vicarage Road hasn't been a particularly happy hunting ground for us in the past, but and maybe earlier in the season, I might not have been looking forward to this trip so much, but with the team playing as well as they are, let's go and test ourselves against one of the deeper squads in the league. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, obviously recently relegated last season from the Premier League, Watford, you know, such a naturally one of the favourites to win promotion. They're currently sixth in the Championship table. They drew 1-1 with Rotherham on Saturday after conceding inside the first 3 minutes. You know, as we know, Rotherham is not an easy place to go this season. So perhaps a 1-1 draw is not a bad result. Only one defeat so far this season for Watford, but actually just one win from their last five matches. Their manager is Rob Edwards, appointed in the summer, quite a highly rated young coach, won promotion from League Two with Forest Green Rovers last season in terms of the head squad, as is often the case, I suppose, with Watford, quite a few names who you might not have heard of have been recruited from abroad this summer. Vakun Issoufbeyo, I think, is the Ivorian striker who they signed from Belgian side Sporting Charleroi. He scored in back-to-back games, so potentially one to keep an eye out on. You know, a couple of other dangerous players as well. You know, João Pedro scored 9 goals in the Championship 2 years ago when they got promoted. He's got 2 goals, I think, so far this season. Keenan Davis signed on loan from Aston Villa, who did quite well at Nottingham Forest last season. Their defence is probably the one area where you think the most experience comes. Craig Cathcart, Christian Cabasele, Courtney House, you know, three defenders who know English football and particularly the Championship very well. And yeah, Ross, you know, this will be a lot closer to the test, I suppose, that Sheffield United provided than the one that Stoke provided. You know, we obviously saw how much Reading struggled against Sheffield United, who are, you know, top of the league now and obviously one of the, you know, best sides in the division. Again, obviously, this away thing comes in, you know, in four away games this season, Reading have scored just once and have conceded just 9. So, you know, this will be a test and it will be a lot closer, I suppose, to the game against Sheffield United. You know, I'm not saying we're going to lose 4-0 again. It is entirely possible, because you have no idea what this Reading team is going to produce. But it probably is going to ask a lot more of these players than maybe Stoke did today.
I think so, but I'm looking at the table right now and Watford have scored the same number of goals as us, 9 through 8 games. So maybe they're, you know, they're not really a goal scoring wagon right now. And so 4-0 is hopefully off the table, but we'll see. And maybe their stalling form, like you mentioned, in their last 5 games can continue and we can finally get a get a win at Vicarage Road. Feels like a while since we've been able to say that. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no reason why Reading shouldn't go there with confidence, you know, off the back of the result today. And, you know, let's not forget, you know, Stoke, you know, yes, you know, well, I mean, they seem to every year sort of seem to, you know, have quite high expectations and then disappoint. But, you know, they're obviously under a new manager at the moment. You know, you often see teams get a new manager bounce, but, you know, and particularly someone like Alex Neil, who is, you know, very highly rated, you know, for me is one of the best managers in the Championship. Obviously won promotion from League One with Sunderland last season, but you know, for me, I, you know, he's someone who ever, you know, whenever Reading sack a manager, he's always one name that I, you know think, you know, would be quite nice to have. So, you know, certainly give result, and Reading have to have that confidence. You know, no Ismail Assar or Tom Cleverley for Watford against Rotherham on Saturday.
That's a shame, because that means that both I think Ismail and Naby will be out then. So we won't have a brotherly link up. Yeah.
Well, that actually reminds me, I don't know why I'm just thinking of this now, but that reminds me of, I think it was last week against Millwall, where both teams had S. Hutchinson wearing number 4. Nice. Sam Hutchinson for Reading and Sean Hutchinson for Millwall. I think it was a couple of years ago we played Cardiff and we had, I think both sides had a Morrison wearing number, again, number 4, Michael Morrison for Reading and Sean Morrison for Cardiff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure on when Naby Sarr might be back. Ismail Assar might feature. He had a minor knee injury apparently yesterday, and Tom Cleverley is resuming training this week. So, you know, they're obviously two of, you know, the more important players in the Watford team. So I suppose from Reading's point of view, it's, you know, hopefully that they are not fit to feature. One thing I have noticed from my brief bit of research on Watford, they conceded inside the first 20 minutes in each of their last 3 matches. You know, Reading obviously scored after just 2 minutes against Stoke today, Ross. We certainly, you know, as I say, you know, have to have that confidence, you know, to go there and win. You know, I was listening to Tom Ince's interview after the game, and he said that the confidence, you know, within these 4 walls is sky high. And, you know, they have to believe that, you know, yes, it's, you know, very early on in the season, but they are third in the table. They are right up there at the moment. Yes, they've, you know, gone and lost 4-0 to Sheffield United, but, you know, they've also battled with some of the best teams in this division. You know, we went and beat Blackburn 3-0, and Blackburn are, I think, 7th. And, you know, they'd obviously had a very good start before coming to Reading. So they have to have that confidence to go there and believe they can get something.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see any reason why they can't too, with the goal scoring records where they are. And Reading really need to put as many points on the board in these early months of the season as they can. Obviously, the squad depth could become an issue as time goes on. Obviously, we're already in our first injury. Is it a crisis yet? It's getting there.
It's always a crisis at Reading.
Yeah. General Reading injury shenanigans are happening as per usual, and that's going to take its toll as the season goes on. But yeah, I think that there's no reason that they can't think that they can beat anyone. So like I say, 3 games to go until the international break. If we can get ourselves to, what are we on? We're on 15 points now. If we can get ourselves to 20 points by the first international break, I mean, we're almost halfway to safety already. So it's a fantastic start.
Well, exactly. I think that's still, I mean, yes, you know, it's been a fantastic start, but I think we have to remember, you know, the expectations at the start of the season, you know, and to be honest, when you look at where the squad was, you know, at the start of the transfer window and sort of the conditions and the restrictions that the club had been working under, you know, safety was always going to be that number one aim. And, you know, usually it takes, you know, around about sort of, well, between sort of 45-ish points to win survival. And, you know, as you say, if we can get to sort of 20 points, which is, you know, what, 1 win, 2 draws, or, you know, 21 points, you know, 2 wins, you know, certainly those games against Wigan and Sunderland, you know, Sunderland at home, you know, certainly a winnable game. So that's got to be the one, you know, I think. But, you know, we are still staying cautious. I quite enjoyed Paul Ince's response to being told that Reading were, well, they were second immediately after the win. But obviously, then Sheffield United went and won. But when Paul Ince was told that Reading were second, he said, that means jack shit. which I do, you know, he comes out with these every so often, Paul Ince, which I thought was rather enjoyable. Let's get into some predictions then for this Watford game. Looking at the current standings, Mark, Ben and Handbags are all on 4 points. There was a correct result prediction for the very first time this season against Stoke, which tells you all you need to know about how unpredictable Reading have been this year. So Mark, Ben and Handbags all on 4. We've had a comment in from Ben, actually, in the mailbag, said, whose success in the Predictions League this season mirrors that of Reading's after having an awful year last year, but now finds themselves at the top end of the pile. Clue, it's me, says Ben. All I will say to that is that it's a marathon, not a sprint, Benjamin. I'm defending my title, which is not going too well at the moment. Adam's on 3 points, me and Sim on two, and Westy on one. Ross, unfortunately not involved, but please can I have your prediction for this Watford game on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll go for a 2-2 draw against Watford. I think it's going to be a good game.
It's really difficult because, as I say, we have such positivity off the back of these results. But this team almost seems impossible to predict just because, as I say, of how jacked and Hyde they've been this season. Just because I think Watford might come back quite strongly, and there are a lot of sort of players in that attack that do sort of scare me a little bit. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Watford, but obviously hoping that that doesn't happen. I think any Reading fan really would take a point, to be honest. As I say, yeah, Watford have come straight back down from the Premier League. They're one of the favourites for promotion, one of the strongest squads. Difficult place to go. So I think a point, and then move on to, I suppose, two slightly easier games against Wigan and Sunderland before the international break. But yeah, shaping up very nicely indeed. That just about rounds off episode number 308 of the Tireless Den podcast. Ross, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks very much. It was great to talk about Reading as forever.
Yeah, always enjoyable at the moment. Thank you very much to everyone listening. Another thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable podcast to record, and hopefully an enjoyable listen as well. Paul Ince, you've certainly got me eating humble pie at the moment. Tom Ince, you are a beautiful, beautiful man. And Lucas Zhao, happy birthday. Come on, you are.